It's good to be back with you again, and a special welcome to those who are visitors today. If you're visiting us for the first time, I just invite you to fill out a green visitor card. And during the offering, you can drop it in the basket. And also at that time, there's a special gift in there, a bookmark for you. Also, invite you to share your joys, your sorrows, your concerns by filling out a caring card. It's a yellow card in front of you. And that will be picked up by our greeters during the opening hymn. And now I invite you to greet your neighbor with a welcome. Today, we have opportunity between both services, a minister's fair, that would be held downstairs in Festin Hall, and I invite you to go down. This gives you an opportunity to meet with the various committee and sign up to be on a particular committee.
The word courage comes from the Latin cor, which means heart. According to poet Mark Nepo, the original use of the word courage meant to stand by one's core, a striking concept that reinforces the belief found in almost all traditional religions that living from the center is what enables us to face whatever life has to offer.
To encourage means to hearken, to impact strength and confidence. This is our work as a religious community, to encourage one another, to be bold in engaging the world around us, as well as what scares us, to give one another the confidence and heart to live as fully as possible. Will you please join me in reading the words that you find in your order of service? With full hearts, we affirm our relationship with one another. We recognize our agency and our connective power. The style is symbol of all that we are, all that we have done together, and all that we will be, as our shared ministry encourages those within and beyond our walls.
Bring who you are as you enter our church this morning. Bring your best self and your struggling self. Bring your mistakes and your triumphs. Bring your shortcomings and your recommitment to good. Bring yourself here and open yourself to beauty, to truth, to the door that is open to the presence of God. Here in this church, we try to walk together on the peaceable way, trying to hammer out division and hatred and all that separates us one from another. We try, and we fall short, but held in love, we try again. We come together this morning as a church to bow our heads in prayer, to raise our voices in song, to remember our promises, and to vow to live by them once again.
30 spokes meet in the hub, but the empty spaces between them is the essence of the wheel. Pots are formed from clay, but the empty space within it is the essence of the pot. Walls with windows and doors from the house, but the empty space within it is the essence of the home. Let us now enter into a moment of silence, embracing meditation and prayer.
The theologian Rebecca Parker says that we inherit covenant before we create it. I've been thinking about this statement in the context of my relationship with you. You ordained me to the Unitarian Universalist ministry, and that same day you installed me as a minister of this congregation. And when that happened, you made specific and particular promises. You promised me a free pulpit. You promised me your goodwill and your cooperation. And you acknowledge that you have a responsibility in my material welfare and my spiritual development, and that ours would be a shared ministry. You charged me to speak the truth as I understand it in freedom and in love. And you called me to speak words of justice, an invitation to compassion. You invited me to share your joys and your sorrows. And you called me to remain open to mystery, grace, and the wonder of the world with my heart and my mind and my spirit. As I'm preparing to leave my service in this congregation, I've been thinking about the promises you made to me and the ones that I made to you. And I want to offer you a few reflections. In 11 years' time, I have never once, not one time, had a person challenge my freedom of the pulpit. That is remarkable. And I so appreciate that you kept that promise, especially when I felt called to speak about issues of injustice that weigh heavy on my heart and my mind, but which are controversial in the larger society, in which I know some of you do not agree, like immigration reform and racial justice. You have worked hard to compensate me fairly according to the standards of our larger association, even when this has not always been easy. And it's been difficult, especially to balance that commitment with the other commitments that you have made as a congregation and how you will use your financial resources. I appreciate your efforts. You have allowed me into your lives. You have allowed me into tender and poignant moments of joy and of sorrow, and allowed me to keep you company. And you have encouraged my spiritual development in many ways. And I'm sure that there have been times when you didn't even know that that's what you were doing. Several years ago, I asked for a leave toward the end of my foster parenting experience, which was both joyful and incredibly painful. I didn't know when I asked for the leave that that experience would soon be ending. But what I did know was that I was struggling. And it wasn't in my letter of agreement to have a leave for foster parenting. But I asked the leadership of the congregation, and nobody batted an eye. Even though it meant calling a congregational meeting to ask the whole congregation to change my letter of agreement to allow me to take a leave for foster parenting. In my experience, you were generous. Nobody questioned my request or seemed to begrudge the time away. And that was so important, because if I had not been able to take that leave, I would have resigned long ago, because I was depressed, I was anxious, and I was existentially afraid about the future of my life. And I just needed time to work on that in myself. And you gave me that time for my own spiritual growth and development. That was a gift. Your goodwill and cooperation has been part of what has kept me here all these years. And that isn't to say that it has been perfect. Of course it hasn't been perfect. There have been times that you have disappointed me. And I know that there have been times that I've disappointed you. But when I covenanted to be your minister, I asked you to be patient with my shortcomings, and I pledged to be patient with yours. Because after all, we're all just human. The covenant that I made with you when you installed me as your minister was made possible in part by the legacy of all of the ministers that this congregation has covenanted with over 150 years. This congregation has made covenants with ministers before me, and it will make covenants with ministers who come after me. And in order to make that possible, the relationship that we have will soon be coming to an end. On November 20th, we will release one another from the covenant that we have made. And once we do that, I will no longer be your minister. I will not officiate at your weddings or your memorial services or your baby dedications. I will not offer you pastoral or spiritual care. And I will not preach from your pulpit. Except, I hope that you'll invite me back in 3 years so that I can see the new building. And maybe then you'll let me preach too, as a guest. I plan to do everything that I can to support the ministry of the interim minister and the next settled minister that follows me. And I will do this so that your relationship with them, your covenantal relationship with them, will be as equally a rewarding shared ministry as it has been with me. This change in our relationship is going to be painful for me. It is already painful for me. It's hard to say goodbye, and I have been experiencing grief knowing that the time is coming near. But grief is a sign that there has been something precious. I love you, and I have considered it an honor and a privilege to serve as your minister. So during these next few weeks, I will do my best to remain open-hearted and present and to tell you multiple times how much you have meant to me. And when we release one another and I go on to serve other people, it will be with tremendous gratitude for the gift of having shared in the covenant of ministry with you.
I'd like to thank Reverend Melissa for her reflection. And, you know, we could close the meeting right now and it would be sufficient. But I do have some words I think that will help you to reflect upon the things that she has said and also celebrate in the covenants that we make with each other and the promises that go with those covenants. You know, this past Thursday, a tragedy occurred here in northeastern Ohio. A police officer, Kenneth Valdez, had stopped a car on 990, for a traffic violation. And as he was preparing to get papers, a motorist came along, struck him, and he was killed. And the story here is not necessarily about this father who left three children behind, one of those being his oldest son, Kristen, who happened to be the captain of the football team. And so on Friday night, Kristen was asked if he was going to play, and his remark was, "I had made a promise to my father that no matter what, I would always be found doing the best that I could. And so whatever happened, I need to play for him." And the fact that the son played football, that in itself is amazing. But what the community did to support him and his family, I believe provides all of us with an example of how we promise to take care of each other and we actually do it. Everyone, including the members of the other football team, were asked to wear blue to honor the fallen officer, and they did. The community came together. The son helped his team to actually win the game, and the son and the family felt the love and the support of an entire community. A promise made by a son to his father was fulfilled. When I heard of this story and read about it in the newspaper, I was struck by the fact that without this community really knowing it, they were being an example of a covenant and a promise in action. In order to understand, let's look at our own Unitarian Universalist history. You know, when the early Puritans came to America looking to form a new type of church, they chose to organize themselves into independent congregations bounded together by covenant. Rather than establishing a formal creed and a centralized church hierarchy, their survival depended upon mutual cooperation and a willingness to put the needs of the community first. The organizing statements of the early Unitarian and Universalist congregations in New England echoed this Puritan ideal. The theology changed, but the essential premise of a coveted community, the foundation of their polity, did not. Margaret Farley, in her book, Personal Commitments, Beginning and Keeping, speaks of a Universalist church in 1825 in its founding statement carries a trace of this Puritan ancestry. And I quote, "We covenant to walk together in faith." The covenant remains in that particular church and deep in our Unitarian Universalist tradition to walk together across disagreements, dissent, difficult discernments, cherishing the way we walk as dearly as any outcome. In 2003, in his book, America Creed, the Reverend Dr. Forrest Church kept the essence of the Puritan's covenant in language to adapt to a modern Unitarian Universalism. I quote, "We pledge to walk together in the ways of truth and affection as best we know them now, or may learn them in days to come, that we and our children may be fulfilled, and that we may speak to the world in words and actions of peace and goodwill." Unitarian Universalism today remains a covenantal faith. Our congregations and our movement as a whole cohere not around universally shared religious beliefs or creeds, but around the way we promise to walk together as we continue to seeking insight, compassion, and spiritual maturity. So how do we walk together? I believe we do that by the way of the covenants we make with each other and the promises that we keep. So let's define these terms, promise and covenant. You know, when I think of a promise is an assurance that we'll do something, that we'll take some sort of action. And it usually consists of an effort made by an individual, sometimes a group of people, to perform something. So a promise is action-oriented. There's a difference between a covenant and a promise. The main difference is a covenant, both parties have clear obligations and responsibilities. But in a promise, that characteristic cannot be observed. But instead, what we observe is the action that is done. Now, we think of covenant. Covenant's not a contract, but rather a voluntarily relationship. The focus of a covenant is on the promises one person or a group of people make to each other. How we'll support one another. What shared values we'll uphold together. Every Sunday in this congregation, as well as in other many Unitarian Universalist congregations, we repeat in unison the affirmation that the Unitarian minister, James Villa Blake, wrote for his church in Evanston, Illinois. Let me quote that for you. "Love is the spirit of this church, and service is its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another." So each week we come here and we promise aloud that we'll dwell together in peace. And ask yourself, looking back on this past week, how peaceful was your week? I know for myself, some weeks by Monday, and usually by Tuesday afternoon, I'm not living peacefully. And I might be acting meaningly or self-servingly. Then we seek and promise to seek the truth and love. And then proceed sometimes maybe to act quite otherwise. Closing our ears, shutting down our open minds and our hearts, and seeking instead the validation of our own and sometimes narrow opinion. And lastly, we promise to help one another. And then we forget about it. I love singing the round in our hymn based on Rumi's invitation, "Come, come wherever you are." We sang this last week, Hal had us do it. But when I think of it, I think of one line that doesn't appear in the singing of the living tradition. And that is, "Though I've broken my vows 1,000 times. Because I'm held into a covenant with you and with others whom I love, I can turn to a different page in the hymnal that helps me where it says, "We forgive ourselves and each other. We began again in love. And then I remember that a covenant is an aspiration to go deeper in relation to ourselves, to our best intention, and to each other. Someone said to me a long time ago, a covenant is a promise I keep to myself about the kind of person I want to be, the kind of life I mean to have, together with other people and with all other living things. So think about it. We welcome babies into our church, when we welcome new members into the community, when we celebrate marriages, when we ordain new ministers. We speak not in the binding language of a contract, but in the life-sustaining fluency of a covenant. We'll walk together with you, child. We will walk together with you, friend. We will walk together with each other toward the lives we mean to lead, toward the world we mean to have a hand in shaping, the world of compassion, equity, freedom, joy, and gratitude. Covenant is the work of intimate justice. Covenant is what I believe has held us together and strengthens this faith. When I think about the covenants and promises that we make, I get inspired, and such was the case this summer as I attended Summer Institute. When I first arrived here a year ago, all I heard about was, you have to come to Summer Institute, you have to come to Summer Institute. And I knew that Kent had had a history of always having the most members there. And so I was able to arrange my schedule and attend, but I had no idea of the magic that occurs when a group of Unitarian Universalists come together. At Summer Institute, I watched families, children, and single individuals all unite around the same thing. And for lack of better words, I will call it nurturing the human spirit. I saw people encouraging each other to get in contact with their holy in their lives. I saw grandparents supporting grandchildren, and those same grandchildren doing talent show things. But the theme that went through the whole thing was the relationship that these people were forming. Many had been coming year after year after year and talking with them. I asked them, why do you come? And they said, I come to see the people. I come to be a part of this. And so as I looked at it on the first time, this feeling of relationship and this feeling of getting people to look at the holy in their lives seemed to be a theme that went through that experience at Summer Institute. When we think of our faith, it's grounded in relation and points us toward relationship. Covenants and promises about how we'll be in relationship, we can't make them by ourselves. There's no solidarity in covenants, only communal ones. And it may surprise you to learn that our principles and purposes of Unitarian Universalists often speak of a congregational covenant, in that we affirm to promote the principles and purposes of member congregations with other UU congregations. Indeed, in spite of our individual tendency for a liberal religion, our strength has always been laying in our relationships. Several years ago when I lived in California, Northern California, what I appreciated most about living there, besides the weather, was the ancient redwood trees. And I learned an important lesson from the ancient redwood trees. Huge as they have very shallow root systems. Yet they are not blown over by the strong winds that tend to come in from the coast. The secret of their stability is the interweaving of each tree's roots with those that stand by it. Thus, a network of support is formed just beneath the surface. In the wildest storms, these trees hold up and support each other. And covenant is the silk that joins Unitarian Universalist congregations, communities, individuals together in a web of interconnection. The practice of promising to walk together is the precious core of our creedless faith. And so I would ask you, when we say our great covenant moving forward at this, that you'll think back upon what those words actually mean and what the promises are to them. And that you'll remember that we are a covenantal faith. And it is in the strength of our relationships that we're able to grow, that we're able to move forward, and that we're able to bless each other's lives spiritually. I thank each of you for the promises that you have kept in supporting Reverend Melissa and in supporting me in my ministry journey as I serve as your intern minister. May each of you keep and remember the covenants and promises that we make with each other. So be it.
Miniwikoni, Lakota for water is life. This month's special collection will benefit the Sacred Stone Camp located near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota. The camp is dedicated to raising awareness and stopping the Dakota Access Pipeline, the dangers associated with pipeline spills, and the necessity to protect the water resources of the Missouri River, the ecosystems this water supports, the future generations, and the right to clean water. Construction of this pipeline continues, and the camp is preparing for winter. Roughly 300 tribal nations and 5,000 water protectors of Turtle Island make up this camp, making it the largest gathering of Indigenous Americans in recent history. For more information, please visit sacredstonecamp.org or find me downstairs after the service. Please make checks payable to the UU Church of Kent with Sacred Stone Camp noted on the memo line, or feel free to use a pew envelope marking the special collection box and include your name so we may credit you for the donation. Thank you for your generosity.
Man in a suit said I'm a terrorist, but we protectors of our land, standing up for clean waters. I'm gonna keep on standing up, keep on standing up, hey ho. Keep on standing up, hey ho. Man in blue said I'm a criminal, but we are fighting for rights, rising up like our ancestors. I will keep on rising up, keep on rising up, hey ho, keep on rising up, hey ho. Man in green said I'm his enemy, but that's not how it looks to me. For we are ringing bells of freedom. I will keep on ringing on, keep on ringing on, hey ho. Keep on ringing on, hey ho. Man in the dark said he don't care for me, 'cause we're marching down the street. But we are holding out our hands for him, and we hope you march along, hope you march along, hey ho. Hope you march along, hey ho. Man in a suit said I'm a terrorist, but we protectors of a land, standing up for clean water. I will keep on standing up, keep on standing up, hey ho. Keep on standing up, hey ho.
Thank you, Amy, for both that. I don't know if you realize that Amy composed that song. That was an original song. So both for your music and for bringing this opportunity to our country.
And now in our closing words, taken from Edward Everett Hill, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do. Go in peace.